just brings desolation. Nighttime gives up to revelation.
And when the world is running over,
with men attempting to be free,
and I will come and light the way for them,
and they will surely come to see,
and they'll fly.
Thank you. to get something to ask for.
Run, run, run.
One, two, three! Thank you. Thank you. off the most troubling song. What was the other song, sir? Request, which we granted only because Frank sings it. Well, it's nice to see everybody out here. You know, sometimes when I'm playing, it's like, you know, 3 people watching. It's a lot nicer when there's, you know, 44,000 watching tonight. So, you know, the beautiful days we get to I would just like to appeal to your sense of fair play and ask you probably for a little bit of cash before you go. You know, if you haven't put any cash in the basket, you might think, ah, Christ, I spent $35 tonight, I ain't getting nothing. But I can give them 3 or 4, feel good about myself. Right.
Sure.
What's up? Are you fine? We do appreciate it. We've got the green hair, we've got the red shirt. Thank you. Oh yeah, we have t-shirts over there. We're selling them. But somebody asked for Revelation.
In my belly, touch my jelly.
Get in my belly.
Tim.
Thank you. possibilities of righteousness
between science and morality at the level of the individual, thus freeing one to evolve independently.
Thank you.
love to take you home with us. We'd love to take you home. For this last song, the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Commander Q.
36
Jesuífica
Commander Q.
Thank you.
It's Sunday, October 15th, 2000, 12:54 a.m. Walking down Commercial Street in Malden, come from the T station. About to cross through the, cross through the Boston Gas parking lot, to Charles Street, and then to Canal Street. The majority of this volume has been taken up with a live recording in Harvard Square of a Beatles cover band called Not the Beatles. I was sitting there on a little cement wall, lower portion of a big bank window, reading a comic called The Invisibles, written by Grant Morrison. That was recommended to me by Rene Byrd, who is my friend from Burning Man 99 and Burning Man 2000. Spent $55 to buy all the Volume 2 issues in collected graphic novel form. But it was worth it. It's really good. Almost something worth rereading, which most things aren't. Good for the writing, good for the art. The kid at the comic book store that I bought them from, Millionaire Picnic in Harvard Square, I said to him, before picking up The Invisibles, I hadn't read comic books in about 10 years. And he said that comic books have gotten to be really good. They're much more mature than they used to be. And I saw that coming back in my time of collecting them, which I guess was really the late 80s, possibly into the early 90s. I bought way too many. And, I don't know, I just burned out on it all. Didn't have the money to keep up. Anyway, I saw Wonderwall tonight at the Brattle Theater, a movie featuring a score by George Harrison from 1968. It was a strange movie. I was mildly tripping. I guess I'm still mildly tripping. Which is fine. I'm not crazy tripping, but I'm not disappointed tripping either. It's mild spaces. I probably wouldn't be able to read if I was tripping the way I've tripped a few times. I'm in Anthony's restaurant parking lot at the edge of Canal Street. I look up at the moon and I think of Eleni in Florida, in Orlando, which I passed through once, I realized today. It was, back when I was coming back from Big Cypress, Dave and the crew of the van were going to let me off there so I could get the bus to Columbia, South Carolina, to see Barbara, and they were going to continue on to the Rainbow Family Gathering in Osala Forest or something. God, I'm forgetting. Anyway, I ended up not getting the bus there because we screwed up in terms of times and where the bus station actually was and all that. But it worked out fine. It really did. Because I got a taste of the Rainbow Family and real, or more of a taste than I'd gotten before. Previous Rainbow type thing was up in northern Massachusetts at this weird guy's house. Just a freaky night, drumming and fire and peeper noises. at a pond, not really rainbow per se, just rainbow people, I guess you'd say. I don't know. So Eleni is in Florida, but she can see that moon too. I don't know, there's some symbolism already in our friendship involving the moon, and I'm not really sure what, but it's there, at least for me. I think it is for her too. I don't know how smart she is. I don't know where she's at. There's so many fucking things I don't know about her, and this makes me restless. I guess the thing I don't know the most is she gonna show up on Monday and talk to me? Or is she gonna run and hide again? I think I've convinced her I'm for real, and I'm not gonna hold anything against her. And, I think she likes my letters, my poetry. I think I've been giving her something that she's been hungry for. I don't know if hungry is the right word. Thirsty, longing, something she's lacked. And now she's getting it. And, it's being given for free. Though I don't believe that anything's really for free. I really don't. She needs my healing, I need hers. I mean, there's no one-way street. I'm not that well off. I might be better off than her, but deep relationships balance out. Each nurtures and contributes to the well-being of the other. So, there's that. But I look up at the moon and I think of her. The moon gives me something tangible to hang on to with her. Something real. I don't know how her and I and the moon relate, but somehow we do, I think. And so I don't know what next. I don't know what next with her. I don't know what next with my job. I don't really know what next with anything. I don't even know what next when I get home. But, I feel better for having stayed home, for having slept, for having gone to a movie, for everything. My phrase seems to be, it's all good. I didn't go with that for a long time, and now I do. I cling to it a lot. I mean, I don't know if I'm doing my best, but I do know that I'm trying. I do know that in situations where there are a lot of unknowns, I'm trusting myself. I don't have any choice. I mean, I have to. And I think Eleni will show up on Monday. In one form or another, we'll be in touch. I'm willing to see what happens with her. I'm willing to try. Which is not easy for me. because they've messed up so many times. And I don't want to mess up again, but cop car just went by. I didn't stop speaking for a moment. Oh, and there's a cop car on Medford Street. How about that? Well, I'm not going to find anything on me that's very interesting. Let's say that. Anything they can deduce is interesting anyway to them. I have to be patient with her. And she has to be patient with herself. She's 24 next month. It may sound foolish or whatever, but early 20s is the age I've been seeking in a woman. And it's been for a long time, if that's been true. I seem to still be my own age, okay for a woman in her early 20s. By that time, they're ready to graduate up from boys to men. Eleni's unusual. And then she seems to be, because of the assault on her when she was 20, she seems to be largely inexperienced since then. But I don't know how much of that is true. I don't know how much of it I believe, frankly. Now to the Rock Cemetery. Oh, Eleni, I see you up there. I'm sending you loving thoughts, which I hope you're getting. We have a long path ahead of us. The thing is, eventually she'll want to know me too. I told her about my brothers. I can't untell that. I don't want to. It was difficult. I don't even think she realizes how difficult. Because she was enduring the... She was enduring having to tell what happened to her. Not having, but she wanted to. She chose to. She did. And so here things are. It began on October 10th, and here it is, just the beginning of October 15th. If we talk tomorrow, not tomorrow, well, I guess technically tomorrow, it'll be on the 7th day of our acquaintance. I didn't write to her Saturday, and I didn't write to her... Well, I didn't write to her Saturday. I don't think I'm going to write to her today. I'm going to try and hold off. I didn't want to go too fast. I think that's what I did. On Wednesday, I sent her... sent her a... internet greeting card. Stupid. Stupid. But I did it. I almost lost her, and I was willing to lose her. Because I didn't see it, I had any choice. She came back. It was her choice. Someone who enters your life, someone whose presence is sudden and big. It can be incredible. It can be scary, too. So I don't know what next. Don't know. And Laura? Don't know about her either. And the girl I met through the Lyceum, Veronica, who turns 18 next month? I don't know about her either. All I can do is cultivate friendships and try not to lose my head with them. And try not to be desperate. And hope that one of them bursts into love. What I want. I've long believed that romantic, sexual, mystical, cosmic, physical, all-encompassing love would open up things in me that are closed, serve my work as my work would serve it. I need a living muse. I need a living girl. I don't know what happens now. But here I go trying. Good night, spirits. Good night, Elise. Beautiful night. All right. I'm ending this here. Peace out. It's Monday, October 16th, 2000, 9:46 p.m. On Charles Street, headed for Canal Street, headed for home. Malden, Mass. Lainey showed up this morning. It wasn't long after 9. And we talked on and off until 5. It was awesome. It was awesome. That's not to say that it wasn't difficult at times. Perilous. Trying to see on the street how much time is left in this tape. Maybe 15. Nearly done. Oh well. Anyway, we covered so much emotional ground. I gained wave after wave of her trust and affection, sometimes making her laugh, sometimes confronting with her the hardest things. By the time she left, she was happy. I think she was as happy as she's capable of being, if not more happy. I don't know, 1,200 miles away, but I'm deeper in that girl's heart right now than anybody. And she's deeper in mine. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I keep going back to an afternoon, a Saturday afternoon. You know, I don't know how long ago it was now. It could very well have been over a year ago. I really don't know. But I was reading one of Timothy Leary's last books. He was talking about cyberspace. And this, mind you, was about 1990. But he was talking about connections in cyberspace, emotional connections. He was actually, I think, talking about erotic connections. But I think his comments would, even by his own agreement, be applicable to a wider spectrum, including erotic, but not limited to it. Anyway, he said that the mind is the key. And I've always felt that connections on the internet, while limited in some ways, breach other kinds of boundaries. And boundaries that probably wouldn't ordinarily be breached because a wider array of connections would be made in person or even on the telephone. But because they're more focused, because the physical is not literally present, only strongly implied, minds are pressed harder into service. And I think often that we prove inadequate because misunderstandings and so on happen all the time. But sometimes the connections hold. Sometimes the connections hold, and sometimes they are sturdy and stable enough to become the ground upon which something may be erected. And it seems that that's what's happened between Lainey and myself. My mind has been sharp as shit in being in touch with her. And in also the in-between times. I think this morning she longed for a long letter from me. And what she got was a short note. And I think that was good. I'm not playing her, I'm not playing myself, but I'm trying not to scare her before our grounding stabilizes. And tonight, she begged me in a nice way, which she did, for a long, beautiful letter. And I, of course, wrote one as best I could. And I wrote it less reservedly than previously. Because I think that as much as ground must be preserved while it's stabilizing, it has to be tested for weaknesses that wouldn't necessarily bear themselves out if not tested for, sort of like an illness, a hidden symptom, that if you don't test for it, it's not apparent, but it could be indicative of something bad that won't come more obvious until later. For example, I said to her while we were talking today on Instant Messenger, I said, I'm 36, you're 22. Is that a problem? I said it wasn't for me. She said it wasn't for her. I had to broach this. I had to. I don't think it'll ever be a problem again. I certainly won't raise it. Unless I become a fucking neurotic freak. More of one rather than less of one I'm trying to become. I don't think it's ever going to be a problem. I really don't. I asked her bluntly if she wanted to keep me. And she said yes. I asked her more than once. And she said it yes more than once. And each time she said yes, it strengthened our bond. I asked her more than once if she wanted to be happy. I asked her if she thought it was possible. She hedged. She's that far. But at the end of her conversation, she was wild with affection, with gratefulness, something resembling happiness. If only a moment, if only for a few moments, she was happy. And I really think that once she sees that the unhappiness is in her mind, it's not in her life. I think she saw it for a moment there. She saw it was possible to be happy. We discussed Burning Man today. We discussed ecstasy. And I told her about the Merry Pranksters. I think her generation is sufficiently schooled in the world that the possibility that I've taken LSD is not going to immediately make her reject me any more than our difference in age. I'm too coherent, I'm too lucid. I get to the point, and I get to it with sharpness. In a way, when I was talking with Laura on Instant Messenger, being at work would aggravate me. I felt it dragged me down. It messed with me. I mean, it was all in my head, but that's how it seemed. But with Lainey, it's not that way. Somehow with Lainey, it's good. Well, part of why it's good with Lainey is because I can woo her. And she likes me wooing her, and that's what I wish to do. I wish to woo. The letter I wrote her, one of the last words I used was thine. I almost didn't, but then I couldn't think of anything that would hit the note I wanted to hit at that moment. I wanted to hit a reverberative note. A no-shit reverberative note. And that was the word. Hello, spirits. There's hope, spirits. God damn it all, there's hope. Oh, Lord, she's going to arrive to a letter. There's just no doubt about that. Spirits, I might have a girl at last. A real girl. Who wants me and loves me for who I am. Who longs for who I am. It's possible, spirits. For all this time. It's possible. I'm going to check the time left on this. Glad I checked. Running out of time. I'm going to talk it right through to the end. At Lainey Russell, October 10th, 2000. 1 month before her birthday, her 24th birthday. By her birthday, we'll have known each other a month. By the end of the year, we'll have met. I hope that by her birthday we'll have spoken on the phone. I don't think that's too great a demand. Night spirits. Meanwhile, I have an hour left to work. It's raining. Beautiful fucking world. It's a beautiful fucking world. Bless it all. Even bless Malden. Bless Malden. Bless everyone. Bless everything. Love to everyone. I may have found my muse. My living muse. Peace and love. Swear to everyone.
So, it is now the same night, same place. It's 10:50 p.m. The night's plan shifted a bit because I decided we should watch Married at First Sight at midnight. Because it's been that kind of a 4:20. And toward that end, we walked down to the corner store down the end of the street. And got a couple little bags of cookies. That was fun. Fun walk. And I come back up here. And I just dived into this poem again. And I have more of it. It's now longer. Many more pages. It's not in any way assembled properly. But I don't really see its beginning or its end. But I have much more middle than I had a night ago. It's about three characters, and it's going to shift among their perspectives, which is naturally complicates things more for us. But I definitely... was near its end when I left off last time. Anyway, it's got more to it, definitely. It's going to be kind of a swinging poem in the sense that it's going to swing between different themes and different perspectives, and I'm not exactly sure where it exactly begins or ends. But it's the first one, and I think that if I can get this one right, even if it's the only one in the April Pentacle, it will set the path for the other five that are going to be associated with it. I mean, they have rough plans for each. Plans are not poems, but sometimes they help. And so I pushed this one along. I need to finish it. I need to finish it soon. I know that. It was sort of like Bags End the other week where I just needed to finish it. But just such a wide scale, it's a wide landscape that I haven't been able to do easily or quickly. I just keep pushing it along, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. So I've done that, and I can feel like, okay, that's good. It's getting there. Like, tonight I didn't start with nothing. I started with the pages I wrote last night, and I found some more straight lines that I'd written that helped. And it doesn't add all up yet at all, but it doesn't, it's not nothing. It's on its way. So, I think maybe another go might be what's needed. So that's exciting. So anyway, I'm gonna sign up now, and I'll be working on this still more. Probably tomorrow night. I always seem to want to have more writing time than I. Toward the end of the week, radio seems to take over, even when I feel I've done everything for it. But maybe I can pull it up better this weekend. I have a lot of cynical work to do that's not my own pieces, so I've got to spend the time on my pieces really well when I do. But okay. Better getting there. It's craft and art. It's craft and art. I say that over and over again. It's craft and art. And sometimes one takes the lead, sometimes the other takes the lead. Right now, the two are kind of working hand in hand. Because I don't have this effortless flow for this poem end to end, but I have some of it. I haven't put it all together yet, but poems come in different ways. They come in different ways, they come from different sources, they result differently, and each one has to be an effort to try to write the best poem yet and stand it fine among its fellows. So I'm not going to stop with trying to do that until I have succeeded in doing that, and that is my goal. Enough said.